Okay, any more comments?
I don't.
Okay, it is 6:03 p.m. on Tuesday, June 13th, 2023. We'll call the Common Council meeting to order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Wiggle.
Here.
Varga.
Here.
Middleton.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Romano.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on May 23rd. Were there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay, next up, I am pleased to introduce Matt Hyden as our new park director after he gets sworn in. Matt, as you may know, was our maintenance supervisor and has worked in the parks for over 16 years. I know that Matt's kind of sort of been running Chip, you know, with a little bit of help from Chip, but between him and Melinda, they've been running the ship while we were in search for a new director. So welcome, Matt. Glad to have you on board. And Rosie will swear you in. So if you want to come around the front here, Rosie will tell you wherever she wants you to be.
Okay. I'm Matt Hyden.
I'm Matt Hyden.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully discharge my duties.
I will faithfully discharge my duties.
As park director.
As park director.
Of the city of Columbia City, Indiana.
Of the city of Columbia City, Indiana.
And uphold the ordinances of the city.
And uphold the ordinances of the city.
And the laws of the state of Indiana.
And the laws of the state of Indiana.
And of the United States of America.
And of the United States of America.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
So with that, I will go ahead and let Matt give his report. If you have questions of him, then that's a good time to ask those, and then I will let him go with his family. So, Matt.
Pool season started real strong with the hot weather that we're having. Of course, last couple of days haven't been very helpful, but baseball season is starting to wind down. So as that's winding down, we're getting ready for the 4th of July. So we've been coordinating with the Old Settlers to be able to make sure we get the stage down for entertainment and bleachers and all that for their entertainment they have at the stage.
Questions of Matt? Am I going to give any hard ones on this first partner?
We'll save it for the next one.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Okay. So go ahead and move to the compliance of statement of benefits. In front of you is the two forms that were challenging to see in the last meeting's packet. 2020 personal property and a 2022 personal property, both from Kyocera SGS Precision Tools or SGS Special Group. So now that you can see the full numbers, I'm happy to. I cannot answer any questions. It was requested that they would come in front of you. They did turn in the new forms. Dale was not able to be here tonight, but he has been having multiple conversations with Kyocera. So, you know, they're a good company for our community, but also understand that these numbers don't necessarily show the return that was expected.
They're close.
Well, one of them is.
Yeah, one of them is close. The other one not so much.
And to be fair, 2022, I mean, that was just last year, so maybe it's a scenario where, given another year, maybe that number will be higher. The actual number will be higher. I don't know that it will or won't, but
part of it is they're struggling. You know, if we give them the benefit of the doubt, saying, hey, we'll give you another year, but it could be changed the next year, or...
I would love to tell you whether they are or aren't struggling, but I don't know that answer.
They're not here to answer the question.
Yeah, I think that's awesome for them to be here. I mean, if it wasn't such a big disparity,
In 22.
In 22, yeah. Which, I mean, I get it. I mean, yeah. There's lots of things that happened last year that were out of other, some people's control, but we don't have been great, you know, just some information.
Part of me said they should have been here. We had, this is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And why aren't, why did they, nobody give a call and just drop off the paperwork?
Surely you would think that someone from there could come be here to answer questions if it was important to them. It's important to us as taxpayer dollars.
I can't disagree with anything you said.
We don't know. We just don't know the situation. So we are flexible in the appropriate manner, but also we've got to set examples of what we would expect anybody else to do. I think they're a good company and they're good for the community, but I can only speak under assumption. Do we table one more time? If we keep tabling, they're not going to have.
Do they have enough time to be tabled?
I was going to make a statement here that this is for personal property. So, and this goes to the assessor, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they have to show proof of all this stuff to her in order to get their abatement. So they have to submit all their bills for all their equipment. They don't really have to put that through to us. So they're going to get another layer of check before they would ever get approved for the abatement.
Is that only if we approve it, though?
Well, yeah, we have to approve that it's okay, mm-hmm. To go ahead and send it to the auditor or the assessors. And then they have to submit copies, since it is for machinery equipment. That's all they're getting abatement on, not real estate or anything else. So the only way they're going to get an abatement on this equipment is if they show proof to the auditor or assessors that they purchased this, or what if they still have it. So they don't need to give any of that stuff to us.
I mean, I think it's pretty clear in 2020 that they pretty much met what was estimated, right? I mean, it's a difference of $5,000, right? Which is, I mean, in over $1 million, $5,000 is a very small percentage, right? So I don't think, unless I'm misreading here, I don't know that anybody has a concern about 2020, right? I think the issue is the 2022. Now, as I look at it, it's curious because... the number of additional employees they estimated to be 10 was actually 11, but the salaries are what, two-thirds of what they were anticipating, meaning that they are paying a lot less than what was expected. It could also be a scenario that they hired maybe some of the lower wage earners and haven't hired the higher wage earners that was expected. Again, I don't know. I'm just looking at the numbers, but I certainly understand. It's the council's decision for sure, and I don't have any additional information that you don't have.
Do we have enough time, Rosie, if we were to table it again? I don't know if we want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it was supposed to be in the 15th of May.
Oh.
But
into us or into the assessor?
To us. But if you want to do it again, like.
Give them one more chance. Okay. If they don't, that's reasonable.
I mean, I want to at least find out, because it looks, if they added more employees, which you know, the current number, they added five, although the amount of the salaries is down, you know, 40, you know, 50-something thousand dollars. Retained employees is down six, but additional employees from the projected is up one. But the amount of the salaries is probably 25%, 30% less. So I guess some background on why that is.
Yeah. Tom?
I was just down past there, I think it was yesterday, and they have signs out advertising for Swiss operators and CNC operators. I think they're having difficulties finding them. So I'm just throwing that out there for FYI. Yeah.
It's just here, again, I think if the estimate, okay, this is just Brian talking here, but in the number of additional employee lines, if they were estimating to have, let's say, 20 employees, and they have only hired 11 of those 20, then that salary difference makes sense, $520,000 to $335,000, right? But the fact that they estimated 10 individuals making $520,000, which I'm assuming, just doing quick math, is $52,000 a year, right, on average, and yet they have 11 making $335,000, again, quick math, basically give or take $33,000 a year, right? So I guess I'm just trying to understand, and again, to your point, if we had somebody here to answer questions, that would be helpful to understand some of those things and those discrepancies, because, again,
it's not really our responsibility to know their business.
It is not.
Or
it is
their
not.
Questions.
That is absolutely correct.
And I didn't get
to
come to that next
meeting. Again, our representative, you know,
right.
Dale may have some insight between now and then. I don't know.
I know that Dale multiple times told them to get their forms together to correct them, and that we have requested them to be at this meeting. I'm not telling you you shouldn't give them another grace period. I'm just saying I know that that message was communicated. I talked to Dale this afternoon or this morning about that specifically. With the abatement that we're talking, the problematic abatement, let's say it that way, I mean, this is their, what, first year?
Yeah.
Their first year abatement, which is
100
or 90%, it's either 100% or 90%, I forget how that works. But.
I believe that first year took forever to get answers as well. So.
And they did come in last year, didn't they?
Yes.
Drew? After we had requested it.
Right.
It's not yet.
I don't.
So, let's take 2020, because I think we know where we're generally at with that one, which is the 2020-18 personal property. So, do I have a motion to find Kyocera SES Precision Tools in compliance on the 2020 personal property abatement and grant an additional year of abatement?
So moved.
Motion by Ted, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? Favor show by the usual sign. And all those opposed? Okay. So Jenny, Ted, Dan, and Walt approve, and Jennifer opposes. And then on the 2022 personal property abatement. This is the one we've had lots of conversations about. What is the pleasure of the council?
I'd like to give them one more chance. I mean, again, I agree with not for us to manage their business, but I think give them the opportunity to come in and talk to us one more time. Because the longer they wait, they don't get the abatement, right?
Well, I would say if they don't, I mean, if you're leaning that way to give them another grade, to give them until the next meeting, and they, if they don't show up to the next meeting, then you can certainly say, no, we're not going to grant the abatement because we don't know.
Right.
Right? You can certainly say that now if you wanted. It's really up to you guys to make that determination. It sounds like Rosie believes, right, that we could wait till the next meeting and hear them out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, as long as you guys are the ones that are saying we're going to wait, then we're fine.
But if they come in and sign the documents,
then they get the full abatement.
Then they get the full abatement.
Yes.
They're not penalized any percentage.
No.
Okay. So, I think we're giving them every opportunity to make it successful. that point, the abatement goes away and they start all over.
Right.
Well, does it start over or is it?
No, they lose that year.
They just lose that one
year. Yep. So, if you remember Holiday Inn Express last time, they came in and they had not filled out the paperwork in a year or two, so they lost those 2 years of abatement. It continues the schedule, but it's based on whether you approve it or not. So if they don't come in this year, if you guys decide to grant them another 2 weeks effectively, and they don't come in, and you don't grant them the abatement for this year, I'm assuming they will come in next year because they'll be missing out on a lot of money. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. So, again, you made a valid point. It would be 2 weeks for them to come back, not a month. So, in the next meeting.
So, I look at this from two different angles. One, from a business owner. If I knew that this was an opportunity, I would have been camped out outside. Probably brought in donuts.
Try to smooth it over.
But on the other hand, I want to give someone the benefit of the doubt. On the other hand, because I don't know what their circumstances are, but so I don't know. I guess I'm really torn personally. So.
I just feel like deadlines exist for a reason.
Can I make a comment? The reason the salaries might not be up there is I imagine they're having a hard time coming up with people who are trained in running the machinery. So they're going to start them out at a lower rate. Now, I can't say that's what it is, but if they're trying to get CNC machines and that
Swiss,
you just don't pull just anybody off the street and they know how to run that, you know?
Yeah. Mike, I think we're in agreement with you. I think we 100% agree with that. I think the challenge is we don't know that.
I understand, but I know when I went into running screw machines, there was a year training period for that. So you just don't start them out at the top wage when you don't know what they're doing.
Sure, that makes sense. Okay.
The bottom line is they need to respect the abatement. And when we request them to come in, they should have made an attempt because it's a big dollar amount.
It also sets a bad precedent for other businesses that, well, they'll just give it to you, don't worry about it. You
know, so part of me, I agree kind of with Walton, I'm kind of with saying, hey, the deadline's a deadline, you should have been here. So if it meant.
I mean, we all have deadlines in our lives that we have to follow through on or have a penalty for it.
So I'm kind of going through different directions here.
What is the pledge of the council? Or does someone want to make a motion?
Well, I still need to give them one more opportunity to be here at the next council meeting. And again, if that doesn't work, then they're going to forfeit that percentage of abatement until the next year and see what happens.
So is your motion to table this for two until the next meeting?
Yes.
And request their pen and mandate their presence.
Or representative.
Yes. Okay. So I have a motion to table till the next meeting with the more than request that they need to be present to explain the numbers.
Well, and I feel like it needs to be somebody from the company, not Dale.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's not Dale's responsibility to make guesses either.
Okay.
I mean, they're here in town, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As I understand, their accountant is not. But certainly, the company is in the city, and certainly individuals
can come.
Yes, and somebody can come and answer the questions about their business and how things are going, what their challenges are.
Or we could do a video.
Yeah.
If we need to talk to, if the accountant wants to talk to us.
So I would lean towards Walt on this, but I think we have to have someone from
the company
come in, even though it's. I really think they should have been here tonight, but I mean, I think I personally will give them a benefit of the doubt because they're an asset to our community, I think. So
Walt, will you amend your motion that we table it until the next meeting and that an individual from the company is here?
Yes, I'd like to amend my motion to say we will bring this back up at the next board or city council meeting, and then a representative employed by the company to come talk to us about where they're at with their abatement.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Sorry.
Okay. Motion by Walt, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? Okay. Hearing none. All those in favor show by the usual sign. All those opposed? Okay. So Jenny, Tad, Dan, and Walt approve, and Jennifer opposes. Okay.
And we don't have to approve it at that point.
No, absolutely not. You're just asking to move this to the next agenda and to have somebody here to explain that. Do you want these back, or do you want them just to keep them?
No, you have a sign in and a good
That's okay. Okay.
This one's got a $100 bill.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That must be a Yeah. Okay, we'll keep moving forward here. Next up is the the public hearing on the utility rate adjustments. As we've talked about for multiple months now, the need to address the ever-increasing prices at all of our utilities, specifically on chemicals, equipment, parts and pieces, etc. And I know I've gone through that in ad nauseum multiple times now. We had the rate consultant come in, Baker Tilly, tell us about the numbers and go through those things. We had the utility rate advisory board take a look at these, recommend the thing that you guys are moving forward on, which is a 2% 2%. Yeah, across the board on those things. So we will recess the council meeting and open the floor to public hearing. Hearing nothing, we will then restart the council meeting and take ordinance 2023-5. Do I have a motion to read ordinance 2023-5 by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Jennifer. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2023-5 by title only.
Ordinance 2023-5, an ordinance amending the rates and charges for the City of Columbia City Municipal Electric Utility.
Again, I'm not going to go through each of these since we've been through this a lot of times, but any questions, comments, concerns about those? Okay. Do I have a motion to approve ordinance number 2023-5 on second and final reading?
So moved.
Sorry.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is ordinance number 2023-6. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2023-6 by title only.
Ordinance 2023-6, an ordinance amending the rates and charges for the City of Columbia City Water Department, Water Utility.
Any issues? Comments? Okay. Motion to can I have a motion to approve ordinance number 2023-6 on second and final reading?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Walt, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is ordinance number 2023-7. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2023-7 by title only.
Ordinance 2023-7, an ordinance amending with the rates and charges for the City of Columbia City Municipal Sewer Utility.
Any comments, thoughts on this? Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve ordinance number 2023-7 on second and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Danny, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Do I have a motion to read ordinance number 2023-8 by title only?
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor should be able to sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2023-8 by title only.
Ordinance 2023-8, an ordinance amending the rates and charges for the City of Columbia City Municipal Stormwater Utility.
I will say one thing on this, and that is in my 12 years as mayor, we've never once touched this one. Okay. I also should have mentioned, as you are all well aware, is that rather than the one thing we've done, and this council has been thoughtful about this, is ensuring that we're making small, minor adjustments along the way rather than waiting until the last minute and making a big increase on people. So trying to be thoughtful about how we do this. Any thoughts about our question, comments?
Just the other thing, when the county has its assessed drainage values that come through, the money's taken out here instead of charging the individual watersheds.
Yep. Within the city limits, yes. We don't. Yeah, they don't get charged those watersheds like many in the county do. We pay for that out of stormwater fees. Anything else? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve ordinance number 2023-8 on second and final reading?
Second.
Motion by Dan, second by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay. Next up, the department head reports. Mike.
The safety committee went through our facility and didn't find any major issues. The CSO-19 project, the stabilization of the bank is all completed. The railing is in, the new asphalt drives in. We're waiting for the sampler to be set, and we'll have training on that on the 20th. So that project's about 70% complete. I worked with Miller Drain, Columbia Sugar Cliff Station, had a bunch of stones. Got washed into that station somehow and plugged up the riser pipe, so they'll work with them. They got that all cleaned out and run their camera in there and checked it all out, and everything is back to normal. Still working on the ARVs. We had a bid opening tonight for the Fourth Main project, and we've received no bids. So we are going to table and just shelf that project until an undetermined date. Mike and myself attended the AFA meeting in Auburn on the 1st, something that being utilities that we have to do yearly, so we're eligible for state federal funding. That's all I have.
Question to Mike. Thank you. Mike.
Yeah, we're still changing a lot of meters to the new AMI meters. Had some storm drains that we are suck holes around that we are taking care of fixing, and also the 26th we were supposed to start flushing hydrants, and we're going to cancel that because of if we get hot weather and the splash pads running and that, and we start opening two or three hydrants all at once around town, we do drop the water level in the towers pretty fast over you know, 4 or 5 hour period. That out east of town, we've had some problems where, if we drop too far, then they have problems with their boiler making feed. So I just think with the weather and the splash pad running, that it's not a good time to do it.
Question to Mike. Thank you, Tom.
105 has some issues, minor issues, that have an engine light on. Adam's aware of it. He's got parts on order to get it fixed. I did speak with the mayor during our budget time about replacing that vehicle. It's just every week something different's happening with it. All of our mid-year reviews will be done this coming next Tuesday. We did have the touch truck also down at the Peabody Library this past Saturday. The place was booming. They had a lot of different events going on other than the touch truck, and parking was a bit of an issue, and some people were kind of irritated about that, but that's really not our issue. So all of our old gas meters, we had plans of throwing those away, and Union Township contacted us and asked us if they could have them sent in for an eval to see about having them repaired. Personal opinion, I don't think they're repairable. We would have done that, but we did give those to Union Township, full disclosure. The guy did some work on the museum building. It's a steel roof. That was put up about 20 years ago, and we had some water stains on around some of the screw holes where the old rubber gaskets on the sheet and then those metal building roofs, some of those rubber gaskets get dry rotted, and so they puttied those holes over this past week. And other than that, that's pretty much it.
Question to the town. Thank you. Kelly?
My supervisor and I went through our mid-year evaluations last week. Basically took all day to go through those. It's really a good time to sit down with the guys and just have some talks with them and see how things are going too. So it went well. We had wanted to thank Jason Branning from the electric department. Helped us remove a couple trees down at the cemetery that were in bad shape and needed to come down. So thank him for that. Had to take our jet machine over and equipment to get some work done on it. It'll be down for a couple weeks. We had two guys from our department attend CDL training starting yesterday, and that'll be going on for 2 to 3 weeks over at it's over by Sweetwater Sound. There's a trucking, CDL Trucking Academy over there that they're taking classes on. We had, as Tom mentioned, over at the library, we had some equipment over there as well for a touch and truck event. This Friday, there's another one that's going to be at Mary Rader School. The Steam Ahead is the name of the program.
Yeah, yep.
They reached out to us to see if we'd bring some equipment over there. And possibly, I guess, first Fridays, maybe we'll have something too that they're requesting. Our Pavement Solutions was in town doing our pavement preservation on crack and sealing streets. They're currently done and out of town now. And I think that went fairly well. Did some road patching where we had some storm lines dug up, and still working in Columbia Shores trying to do some sewer maintenance things back in there, that area. So that's it.
Question of Kelly.
I had a question. Kelly, the CDL training,
yeah.
Is that the new law that's coming up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it used to be that we could just train them in-house, basically, and go over to the old harvester building, and it was pretty cheap to do it that way. And then they came out with a law that you had to do this like 3-week class, basically. So that's what we're up against right now until that changes.
Yeah, our cost used to be in total
like
a couple hundred bucks,
yeah,
for one person. And we're sending, I think, five through, and it's costing us $23,000. Give you a perspective. Effectively, the feds, I believe, said anybody that's going to hold a CDL has to be able to drive a big truck, even though what we do is not that. It's not over the road trucking or hauling or things like that, but that's what they mandated. So our prices went from, for five people, $500, $600, $700, $100 to $23,000.
Is the fire department exempt?
Yes, there you go. Yeah, I don't know that. Yes, looks like.
Which seems, I don't know, kind of crazy that they are and we're not, yeah. You know? I mean, what's the difference? Because we're driving basically 2-ton trucks around with air brakes, is it?
Yeah,
and
totally understand.
And we're trying to keep the community safe by plowing snow and, you know, things like that. So we're not over-the-road drivers, but it just seems kind of odd that that's...
I know there's been a lot of discussion on that, and the reason being is because you'd have to send all your volunteers to it as well.
There'd be a lot of departments that would get out of the fire business if that had to happen, I'm assuming.
I don't think they need to send them. I think they just need to make cities exempt for things like that.
I mean, to me, at the end of the day, if you're not going to be... I think you could easily make a CDL that's a different class of CDL,
right,
and be for what you guys do, and that would make it really easy. And I mean, heck, I don't even mind paying $1,000 a person to get that done, but $23,000 for five people sure seems like a ridiculous amount of money. And that's actually with a break, to be clear. the price started off higher than that, and then we were able to work a deal with them a little bit, so, yeah.
And I think there was some, even when we first started checking on it, some that was even higher than that,
yes.
Right? Like if
yep.
we went to Texas or something
yep.
crazy like that.
Is the person doing the getting this, is it a government agency, or is it a
what do you mean,
like
this,
private...
This, doing this training.
Private instructor?
It's a private instructor. Yeah. Yeah. Because, again, we used to be able to do it in-house and then basically send them for the test. Now they have to go through the full course with a certified individual. So we've talked about the idea of maybe certifying somebody in-house and just...
Why don't
we have,
do that?
We have a
Kelly, you're hired.
We,
I mean, no thanks.
Yeah.
Well, where's Chip?
It appears that would definitely pay off.
But
and
again,
if we were charging other people to come to us.
Sure. Well, I'm not sure. I don't know if we can sub it out or not. I'm not sure how that works. We've talked about it. It's trying to find the right person that's going to be here for a significant amount of time that already, by the way, has both their class A and or class B and A. I think they have to have both the classes. CDLs, which again is not something we typically use. Yes, that is all this is a big money making scheme
yeah.
by the government.
Didn't Sean talk to someone from IMFA or something about, or IMPA, or the,
yes,
about a couple people that were going to
yes,
be?
Yes, well, that is one thing we are trying to do is we're trying to work with the Indiana Municipal Electric Association, which is different than our provider, IMPA. This is IMEA, and they are working to hopefully put a program in place for all the electric utilities, city electric utilities, to go through them for a CDL course. And if we can do that, again, economies of scale will be dramatically different than what we're looking at right now. So I think it's a very good point. Other questions? Thank you, Terry.
The fiber project at the North Water Tower is complete and that system is now on the fiber network. And we have all the equipment ordered for the new park office, which Matt tells me we'd be able to get in there sometime, probably the end of the first or second week of July, to look at what we're going to need there. And the equipment's already ordered, so we could get that ramped up for them, get them in there as soon as possible.
If you are unaware, which I think you are all aware, but if you're unaware, Community Foundation will hopefully be moving into their new building within the next month or so. And at that point, then they would vacate the current Community Foundation building, which would then become the new park office. So, questions of Terry? Thank you, Terry. Marcia?
Nothing.
Rosie?
Speaking of the park office and
oh, yes.
all this equipment, the mayor and I met over some budget stuff, and I don't know why we didn't, but we never budgeted anything out of the riverboat money. And which is where we want to pay for all this equipment that we need. And so all the funds are in there. We were going to see about if the council would approve letting us go ahead and add $150,000 to the riverboat budget.
Which is both cash on hand as well as what we'll be receiving this year. Don't anticipate expending all of that, but rather than, you know, if let's say Eagle Park comes in above again, when we come back and then reappropriate, do all that kind of stuff. So that's so this is cash on hand from years of collecting, as well as what we're anticipating revenue being this year.
So is this for IT?
So this would be to outfit the park office with all the necessary equipment to make that move over, and that only comes that's only $70,000+, I think. And that's again to bring the fiber over, get the connectors, do all the things internally, IT-wise. So I shouldn't say only. I know $70,000 is a lot of money. But extending the fiber from our fiber ring into this property and getting all the other components of an actual building and outfitting it IT-wise for our purposes. Not to mention the equipment, I think, is $60,000+ of that. So so the last $10,000 or whatever, potentially labor. But
you need a motion on that, or
just that you're okay with me approving, or that you guys approve adding $150,000 to the riverboat fund?
And just be clear about that. Keep in mind, the riverboat fund is funded by gambling taxes. It's not anything. There's no additional tax on our residents. Instead, it's a gambling tax the state collects and gives to us, whether we appropriate it or not. So.
$40 is going to go.
Yes, thank you for your $40 contribution, yes. So can I have a motion to, can I just say appropriate, is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, can I have a motion to appropriate $150,000 into the Riverboat Fund for 2023?
So
moved. Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion or questions? Okay, all those in favor should raise your sign. It is unanimous. Thank you for that. That's all you got. Okay. A couple of reports of individuals that are not here. Sean says the transmission breakers at the North substation failed testing, and so Kent Power contacted GE, who are the manufacturers of those transmission breakers. They came on site, made repairs. They were set for retesting today. I don't know if that happened or not with the rain and stuff. I don't know. But apparently, if all goes well, they should be able to re-energize that substation by the end of the week. That is a major deal because every time it gets to be 80 and 90 degrees and everyone's running their air conditioning, that becomes a challenge when we're only running off of one or two substations instead of all of them. So they worked with the street department to remove some trees, trim some trees from power lines. The Digger Derrick truck was taken by Brad Wygen over to the library for the touch-a-truck thing and said that the turnout was pretty good. Landon Urban started working with the mechanic this week. He is our summer help, so he'll be helping the mechanic. He'll be mowing the grass. He'll be assisting the guys in the electric department when needed. Sean met with Wygand about the new jail, about getting electric service in the new jail, and they should be able to get that, start installing that permanent feed or that permanent service in about 2 weeks. They installed two new services. And they also are boring in conduit to feed the underground to the line between East Jefferson Street that feeds Park Terrace. Apparently, there's a lot of blowing of fuses in that area, and they're trying to bury all those lines this year. So that was from Sean. Gary says that conditional offers of employment were extended to three individuals. All three have accepted. One of them has already been PERF approved. The other two have to go and get all their PERF approvals and stuff like that. And two of the three already have 10 plus years of law enforcement experience. So that's good. We started Operation Pullover, or OPO, for seatbelts. So buckle up and be safe, he says. Road guys have been filling in shifts. And so we really appreciate that. We've received up to this point 9 applications, so we have another process because the last process didn't get enough people, so we have another process. So we have so far 9 applications. That process closes at the end of this month. And they're working on policies and SOPs. In dispatch, Savannah Fettig has been selected to fill in that dispatch slot. Her start date was 6/4. She has prior experience, so things are going really well. Hit the ground running. Everything was really good. And they, too, are working on standard operating procedures. I think that's all for that. For your information about what's going on, today we had our... You going to talk about it? Okay, never mind. I'll let Jennifer talk about that. Solid Waste Board, just to give you an update, unless I'm stealing Jenny's thunder. Solid Waste Board, we continue. So, as you may know, the Solid Waste Board... I sit on there as mayor, and there's one council appointment to that. Jenny is that council appointment. As you know, we've had issues with our friends at GFL. We have sent them a notice letter, let's say it that way, and we continue to work on improving service. There's some other things, like a citizen advisory committee that we should have had that we didn't know about. We're trying to put that together. There's lots of things going on in Solid Waste Board. We went back to meeting monthly because we needed to. So we're working through that kind of stuff. Let's see what else is going on here. We have a demo set up on tomorrow. Wait a minute. Say what?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. But my calendar went weird. So it's showing today as Monday. That doesn't make sense. Anyways, point of the matter is we have a demo set up for tomorrow to do some basically some notification type software. Terry, do you want to say a few words about that?
Well, the software that's running would run through our Spillman servers and stuff like that gives us the ability to contact the public in about three or four different ways, whether it be email, a message to an old dedicated landline, cell phone texting, cell phone messaging, stuff like that. So it's something that we're looking at, been looking at, clear back to reverse 911 25, 30
long
years
time ago.
Yeah.
That
would give us the ability to contact anybody in the city. And we also, with the system, would be able to like draw a circle around an area and just notify them. I think that they could use it for something like to evacuations instead of guys running up down the street yelling on the megaphone. So it's just it's a tool for us to be able to better communicate with the public.
So that's happening tomorrow. US 30 meeting is happening right now in Indian Springs Middle School. I sent Chip there. That's why he's not here tonight, because I sent him to be my eyes and ears there. But long story short about that is I know that they're working on the purpose and needs statement and really trying to figure out where 30 is going to be. The PEL, Planning Environmental Linkage Study, is still underway with that. So that's happening. This Friday, we have firefighter interviews for Board of Works, and then on Saturday, we have the Community Bingo, which is the next Summer in the City program that's happening at Eagle Park that evening at some time that my calendar is not telling me, so I think it's at maybe 6, but definitely. Check Facebook. Happy Father's Day to everybody. There are fathers out there. A reminder that Monday is Juneteenth. We are not here. We follow the federal schedule. Juneteenth is on a federal holiday, so City Hall will be closed on Monday. But I know on this Thursday and Friday, we'll have our teams out getting ready for Old Settlers, who will be setting up on that Sunday-Monday time frame. So as for Old Settlers, because Walt's going to ask me anyways, Old Settlers is, I think, ready to go for the most part. We've gotten a lot of the issues from past years addressed. The gray water and other materials, we have a designated place where they'll connect the sewer system, and so I think we've worked through a lot of the challenges. A lot of the department heads have worked hard to try to get to that point, so we had a really good meeting a couple weeks ago with the Old Settlers State Committee.
I think they have pretty good leadership.
I think they do, yes. I think there's a lot of good direction happening right now. So besides that, I think that's probably all I'll say, except one more thing, is that I have an intern, Eden Odu, who was a former youth council member that is going to be a senior at IU, public policy and stuff. So I think public policy. So long story short, she is in my office for about the next month and a half, give or take. So, Walt.
No.
Dan.
Nothing, sir.
Jennifer.
I have things.
Good.
Okay, first of all, the Columbia City Arts Commission is partnering with Columbia City Connect this Thursday, the third Thursday, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. There's going to be arts activities going on in the major alleys. So Oakey Alley will have music, poetry, and Marshall Plaza. And then there's going to be art demonstrations going on in the alley adjacent to the Government Center. All free, all for the community to come out and experience different kinds of arts. Bring your kids, bring your grandkids, get them out there. Another thing related to the Arts Commission that we're really excited about, we found out that our first grant submitted to the Willow County Community Foundation was funded, so we have a little bit more money to work with this year for funding the activities that we're partnering with CC Connect on, which is the different third Thursday things, and then also we're partnering with the city on the Summer in the City activity that's going on in July downtown, which will have more art demonstrations and activities for families during the farmer's market. I don't have the date right in front of me, but it's the 20-something?
It would be the 22nd.
22nd, yes. So we'll be downtown with that on the courthouse lawn that day. The other thing that I want to mention was a really exciting morning with the first meeting of the Downtown Revitalization Steering Committee. Pretty much all the available space over there was filled with people. We met with the consultants and started sharing ideas about what's going right and what could use some improvements in our downtown so that we can make some exciting decisions going forward about what the future of the downtown is and what it looks like and how it's perceived outside and different things like that. It was a really productive morning, I think. Afterwards, the committee went and walked around downtown and looked at some different things out there. The community is definitely invited to get involved in this. There's a survey that's been created that is being circulated out there. I'll share a link. I'm sure the city will share a link. We're really trying to get this
probably tomorrow morning. We'll put it out
broadly out there for people to share their ideas. And I know a lot of the other steering committee members were sharing the links today too. So the survey will be helpful in determining like what people want to do or what to see downtown. And it's everything from, you know, do you like trees downtown? Mm-hmm. Want giant planters? Do you think we need benches? Like different stuff like that. It's been how long since?
It's been about 30 years since we did a downtown revitalization project.
So we are long, long overdue. Yes. I think we have some things that work and some things that didn't work after 30 years of having them. Brick walkways were.
Yeah. It's hard when plow blades go over it every winter. It's hard to keep the bricks from.
Or maybe we should be glad they lasted 30 years.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. Well, in a downtown redevelopment, we also need to consider the age of the infrastructure that's underneath it.
Yes, indeed.
Unfortunately, we talked about.
I think that was part of the conversation today with our department heads that sat down with them to go through, because they had kind of a breakout session, if you will, that. I'm guessing that was a topic of conversation. Yeah. So
this was an all-day thing. It started with the steering committee. It went with some other kind of smaller focus groups. And the point is everybody has a different perspective on this. So it's helpful to the department that we're talking about that, because at our meeting we were talking about a lot of things like...
Above the ground.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
And how our downtown is perceived by people coming here and what would improve that and... Yeah, obviously, marketing was a topic of discussion, but kind of the smaller.
Yeah.
Would you widen up the block?
There was talk about that.
There was a discussion about widening the block. Yes.
Why we didn't do it. I was in my window and I watched super truck pickup.
Oh, yeah, that was talked about.
And you got people stopping because they're coming together and this guy stopping.
There was actually a kind of creative solution to that, and kind of changing the way that we designate some of the parking downtown so that it might be a little less dangerous.
It's just that one block.
I know. It's the 200 block. Yeah, 200 block of West End here.
Yeah,
200 block of West End here.
So this will be going on quite a bit over the next couple of weeks and into the fall. Hopefully having a lot more information at future meetings about it, but I think it's important for people to get out there and share some of their ideas on the survey. So.
Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Thank you, Jennifer. Tad. Jenny.
I have nothing.
Okay. Audience.
Yep.
Melanie, you got something for us?
Yep.
Oh, Melanie Love, 113 East Market Street. So I wanted to let you guys know. So while I'm waiting for backyard chickens, I decided to start growing a garden. And so I've really not had much luck in my lifetime keeping green things alive. And I kind of thought, and I guess this is a lot of just my uneducated, I don't come from a farming family, and I kind of thought that it's just because I didn't water things properly. And so I know a lot of people already know this, but it turns out plants have their own needs in, you know, water and sunlight by plant. But additionally, the pH levels in your soil can make a difference. Having a way to easily obtain that balance and in a way that is also safe for the environment, getting your compost to get the right balance is important. And backyard chickens are a really, really good aid toward that, because they have more of the necessary nitrogen that they can put back in the soil. And again, this is coming from a person that doesn't know a whole great deal about this, and I know others know a lot more, but I know that this is important, and we need chickens for our compost to keep our gardens going. So that is what I have today.
Okay, we will have CIP committee meeting here in about 5 or 10 minutes, and we'll call the meeting adjourned.